This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Now.
Welcome.
Prime Time with Isaac and Suk.
What is going on up here?
I never know, man.
Unbiased.
Shut your mouth.
Uncompromised sports talk without the sugarcoating.
I hope you're happy. You wasted everyone's life for 30 seconds.
Isaac Ropp and Jason Sakanik.
Now shut up and let me do my job.
The best in sports coverage.
This is going to be great.
This is Prime Time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
All right. Welcome back. Right on time. As always, the prompt head coach of the Oregon Ducks, Dan Lanning, as the Ducks get set to take on Wisconsin Saturday. Coach, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you guys doing?
Oh, my God. Never better. What's worse, your weekly press gatherings or phoners with chuckleheads like us?
Oh, man, this is bad. This is all good.
Oh, good. Okay. All right. Well, we kind of worried that you might hate this kind of stuff.
Well, no, it's not bad.
Well, okay, let me ask you a more broad question. How do you view media within the landscape of what you do?
Well, I think it gives an opportunity to create a little bit of a vision for our program for recruits, right, which is something you always want to be able to take advantage of. And, you know, just shed the best light on your program as well. So I think it can be a tool if you know how to use it the right way.
Was that one of the biggest adjustments going from being a coordinator to a head coach is all that other football, non-football stuff that you had to deal with?
Yeah, I'd say so. Yeah, I'd say that's a piece that's different.
I know that I find it just crazy that, you know, you're in the throes of a season. You're trying to win the Big Ten. You're trying to get to the college football playoff. And now all of a sudden they're throwing all these recruiting, recruiting ramps up to a signing day. What changes would you like to see with regards to dates on recruiting and the portal, et cetera, to make it easier on coaches?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to picture how you can do it the right way and still, you know, make everyone happy. You know, I've always felt like the football season should end January 1st regardless. Like, I feel like the national championship game should be January 1st, and it would be awesome if recruiting started. You know, it never is going to just start. You do it all the time, but it would be great if the signing windows were after that. Well, it used to be, right? It used to be in February. That's when the signing day was. Well, now it's become newer and newer in college football, and certainly we're a team that's trying to take advantage of it, where you sign high school players in mid-year, right, in December. And that allows you – you know, to get guys here then. Well, that moved the signing day up. So I don't know if there's a great answer of when that could occur. I mean, some people were making a push for that to happen in the summer, and I think that's too early. You know, for guys to be able to see how the seasons play out, when coaching changes happen, all those things that happen within seasons. I think, you know, signing in the summer doesn't really give you the opportunity to see that. You know, for us as coaches, you want to watch how players develop their senior year. So there isn't a great answer to make it right, but it is what it is. You just got to deal with it.
Yeah, but if you push it back, I think what you're saying is if you just push it back a month, that saves you a lot of.
Yeah, but then it would certainly make your job easier, but then that would eliminate the guys that you want to sign mid-year that could come join your program. A lot of guys now in high school are graduating, after the first semester of their senior year, right? So, that doesn't really, you'd still want to sign those guys mid-year. So, I don't know if there is a great answer just based on the way the windows have been created already.
Yeah,
unless the season moved up earlier.
Yeah, it's weird now, too. You see, and I don't think you've necessarily dealt with this one. Maybe you have, not that I know off the top of my head, but it's like, you see where a coach can make an in-season move now, and the kid's like, well, okay, well, I'm entering the transfer portal. I think it was Lane Kiffin that said, we essentially have free agency. And I know he can't play that same year, but he brought up the fact that we kind of have free agency in the middle of the season, and that is just such a bizarre thing to think about in the context of any sport.
Yeah, it's definitely different. Definitely different. I mean, to have free agency more than one time a year, multiple times a year, is really kind of what happens. And you hope that your culture, overcomes that, and you have players that, understand the process and what that's going to look like. But that's every person's, different. Every individual's different. So you always have to do a great job of painting a vision for what it looks like if they continue to stay here and build in this program. But then on the same note, take advantage of the opportunities that exist out there when guys do enter the portal and other programs.
Yeah. Is that something that you do when you sit down with exit interviews, or do you do it in the season with like check-ins? Is that something that you have to do individually is sit down with a kid? I remember exit interviews and it was always like, hey, this is what we're doing next year. But do you have to think now, like you said, kind of longer term when you talk to kids in your own program?
I think you hope that conversations like that are happening all the time with the players in your program, and they have a good feel for where they're at and where they can improve. I don't think that can be something that just happens once at the end of the season or once in May. It's about having, great relationships throughout the season and throughout the year of what that looks like. And it takes a level of trust too, that they feel like they're growing in your program and those things are happening for them. But it's hard the way the windows are set up and how demanding the season is to find time to say, okay, let's do exit interviews with everybody this week. It's just hard to make that occur whenever you have so many other things going on in the season. So you hope there's a good enough relationship that if a kid feels a certain way, he'll walk into your office and talk to you as a coach.
Yeah, you guys have had back-to-back transfer quarterbacks, and I was thinking about this today with all the recruiting stuff, and now you have the portal that you can mine. Do you think the days of developing quarterbacks in college football are dwindling?
No, not necessarily. And, I'd even argue that if you look at the way that the quarterbacks that we've taken have performed, is they've really developed in our program. Maybe they're, when they got here, it was a little bit different lens and a different time when they got here in their career. But that doesn't mean that Bo Nix wouldn't tell you that he developed a lot as a quarterback when he came here to Oregon. So I think development is still a premium. And if you look at players and see how they're playing in week one compared to how they're playing later in the season, I think that speaks to development on your roster. So does it look different? Yeah, it might look a little bit different. Were those guys here as freshmen? No, but neither was I when they were freshmen. So I think that could look different moving forward for us as well.
Yeah. Oh, interesting. Okay. Well, I don't know if, especially a program like Oregon that's really humming, I wonder how advantageous it would ever be if, when you have the portal and you have quarterbacks in the portal, how advantageous it would ever be to bring in a freshman and you recruit them, but I just mean, starting a freshman seems to put you behind the eight ball more so than a transfer with experience, even though that transfer can obviously grow.
Yeah, you have to be a really special player to be able to play early. And then obviously everybody takes their lumps early in their career too. So, every situation is different, right? Is the juice worth the squeeze? Does it make sense in that scenario to be able to play a guy as a freshman or give them an opportunity to sit and learn as well? And I think every player is different. There's not a cookie cutter answer in that situation.
Yeah. I remember for me, like the light went off in between my second and third year my red shirt going into my red shirt sophomore year, like everything slowed down and it was like, oh, like this is how you do it. But it does feel like nowadays kids are coming in more prepared than ever, but it's like you said, that probably is a very, is it even position by position, or are certain positions more apt to have success early?
Yeah, I definitely think there's some truth that there's some positions that are easier to play than others early on. But again, I've seen exceptions to the rule all the time.
Yeah. And as part of the recruiting process, are you going to promise backup O-linemen thick six touchdowns now? Because you're out doing bits. We're now throwing touchdowns to backup O-linemen. I love it.
Yeah, I don't know that we have to promise it, but we can just point to the proofs in the pudding, right? When you come here and you play, you might get an opportunity like that.
Can I ask, where does that come from? Like, I'm sitting there watching that. I'm not sure which I was like, oh my God, this is happening. The fake punt to a 300-pound defensive lineman deep in your own territory, or a record-breaking touchdown to a backup offensive lineman?
Yeah, we always try to be creative and find things that we think will be hard for the opponent. Some of those things we practice a long time, and almost all of them we describe, this is the perfect scenario that we would like this to happen in. And it's just unique that both those scenarios popped up in that game, and it worked out.
Well, Dylan got the record, and it was to him, so who gets the ball?
Yeah.
His only tutty.
Definitely Dylan's ball.
Definitely Dylan.
Okay. For now, right? Only tutty for now. I mean, now people are going to have to game plan Janoris when he's out there on the field, right?
So was there some sort of confidence? Because we got the touchdown, you got the two-point conversion, and the fake punt. I mean, is there some sort of big man hierarchy? Can we power rank the pride that comes along with each one of those big men carrying the ball?
I think every one of those guys was pretty jacked for their opportunity. So it worked out perfectly on Saturday.
Yeah, Birch, I mean, as far as impressive goes, I knew he was an athletic guy. I didn't know he could scoot like that.
You think that might be on his Mel Kiper draft tape?
Absolutely. Like, when you're talking about top end speed and the number one, like, it's always weird to me when big guys wear single digits. He made it look good. He's out there looking like a tight end.
Yeah, he looks good in it.
Yeah.
This is Dan Lanning with us here. Now, Maryland, would you – uneven performance, is that an accurate description?
Yeah, I think there's definitely left out there that we can do better. You know, there's growth moments that you want to have in every game, and we walked away with some things we can grow in that area.
How much, as a head coach, can you feel a performance like that coming?
I wouldn't say that we had like a bad week of prep or practice. There were some things that certainly could have been better, but I will say that like some of the penalties that showed up in the game, those are some of the same things that showed up in practice. So I'd say sometimes you can feel some of that. I don't know that you predict exactly what it'll look like.
Did I hear you say Wednesday that your defensive backs have been wearing boxing gloves this week?
They have, yeah.
And what is that for?
You can't grab people when you're wearing those.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Is that something you've done before, or is that a new wrinkle?
Yeah. No. That's definitely something we've done before.
Do they like it?
No. They don't like it.
Yeah.
They definitely don't like it. But I don't like penalties either. So it's kind of how it works.
That's right.
Was thinking, like, if you put those on O linemen and D linemen, I just think we just end up punching each other. Maybe DBs are a little bit more refined.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, they certainly don't enjoy it, but when you're getting a little too grabby, sometimes you have to try to paint a picture.
So what team that you've played this year does Wisconsin most resemble? Is there one, and what are their strengths?
Well, they have some similarities from schematically to what Maryland does offensively, you know, with the RPO game and some of those things that they carry. Defensively, I don't know that we've played anybody that does just exactly what they do, but you know, they're big up front on the offensive line. They've got some dynamic slot receivers and good backs. Defensively, I think they're really sound and definitely got some guys that can make plays up front, and their secondary are really good tacklers. So they have some talent. I don't think their record really reflects who they are. You know, they've been hot and cold at times this year, but they certainly have some talent on their team.
We played a clip of Fran Brown. Did you coach with him at Georgia?
I didn't. I know Fran, but I've never coached with Fran.
Hmm. Oh, okay. But you know him.
I shower regardless of the result after the game, but he makes a good point.
Yeah.
He makes a valid point.
He does. Okay. See, I knew you would say that. You're all about that. You guys are, I swear to God, college football coaches are all insane. Fran Brown said, for those who don't know, he said, I don't shower if I lose. So I didn't deserve the soap.
Yeah.
So I wanted to know, in order of intensity, can you power rank Fran, maybe Tosh, Dillingham, and Kirby?
Well, it'd be hard. I haven't coached with Fran. you know, Tosh is definitely a different level of intensity. He carries that every day. I'd say Kirby as well. But I'd probably say Tosh, Kirby, and then Dillingham with, okay, with those. You know, offensive guys aren't generally going to carry the same level of intensity as defensive guys. And I'd say, you know, Tosh and Kirby are both on the spectrum when it comes to crazy, when it comes to intensity.
That's a good point.
There is something about that. Yeah,
it's
the defensive guys. Yeah. Defensive linemen are always a little more off kilter than their offensive brethren.
That's right.
Is there a Kirby Smart stamp on your program? Something specific that he does that you brought?
There's a lot of things that we do here that I did there with Coach Smart. So I think it'd be hard to pick things that, I mean, there's a ton. His blueprint's all over what we do because he's a guy that I learned directly from. And whether it's doing practice schedules or just even the ability to adapt what you do based on what you need to get better at, I mean, those are all things that I took from Coach Smart.
And is he very similar to Saban since he coached under Saban? I mean, is it kind of all the same or are they two different?
Yeah, well, I mean, I'd say that there's a ton of similarities, but there's, I think what makes both of those guys good is that their willingness to adapt and change, you know, whether it was Coach Saban changing offensive philosophies, you know, in the midst of his career, or, you know, the way that we defend certain plays in Kirby's, you know, career. So I think one of the staples of both those guys is their willingness to adapt and change based on situations and what your team needs are.
Yeah. One other question I had for you. I was thinking about your time at Georgia and your first three seasons there. Now, you did have the COVID season, but the two seasons before, you guys were really good, didn't quite get over the hump. In 2021, you did. What might you have learned from that journey about what it takes to seal the deal all the way through?
I think it takes a lot of things. I mean, obviously you have to have a talented team and be adaptable as coaches to how people are attacking you and what they're doing. You know, ability to create is really important. But it also takes some good fortune. It takes, you know, being at the right place at the right time, guys being advantageous when the ball bounces up in the air and taking advantage of those moments. So I think it takes good luck. It takes a really talented team. And then you want to try to control all the controllables you can. A team that, you know, preps the right way, that practices the right way. We had a lot of those traits on that team in 2021.
You feel like you have those traits on this team? Because it sure seems like it.
I think we have the capability to be a team like that, but it's certainly too early to say it'll all play out like that. Like I said, it takes some good fortune, too. It takes the ball bounce the right way. I mean, you think about that team in 2021, we got our butts whooped in the SEC championship game, right? And then we're still able to go on and become a national championship team. So there's a lot of football left to play here, and certainly the most important piece of that is us going to take care of business at Wisconsin.
Yep. True. All right. Thanks, Coach. We'll probably not talk to you next week. It's a bye week, so good luck at Wisconsin, and we'll talk to you down the road. Thank you.
All right. Sounds good. Have a good one.
All right. We will.
Jump away.
We will, damn it.
You plant your flag on that. We are going to have a good one.
You know what? We are.
Yes. It's no Wednesday, but you know.
No.
We'll do what we can.
Thursday's a different vibe.
I mean, then we get into Friday and, you know, it's a whole other ball game.
Fran Brown, I don't deserve soap.
Yeah.
God.
You got
He brings up a great point. It's one that I had never thought of, is that we talk about these coaches like they're all insane because they are. It's really the defensive guys that are the worst.
I will say that of all the coaches that I've been around, the defensive guy, I mean, Gruden was freaking nuts.
Defensive guy?
No, Gruden's an offensive guy.
Oh, is he an offensive guy?
Yeah, he's an offensive guy.
He seems like a defensive
spider two wide banana.
Yeah, oh, that's right. It was a different
quarterback school, you know.
It was a different level of insanity in that it was controlled. The guy that's losing his ass almost always is the defense.
Like, defense.
I think they're both insane. It's two different types of insane, though. Like, you get the offensive guy tends to be like more like mad scientist type,
like,
and then
Dillingham.
The defensive guy is just the wild man.
Yeah. And that's just, right. Offensive guys are smarter.
Yeah, and defensive guys are just...
I should have asked him that.
They're just angry, and they're just...
Well, they react. The other ones are the ones who plan and plot, and then the defense reacts.
Correct.
And remember, it wasn't me that said this. This was Deion Sanders. Remember when he was talking about what he looks for in a quarterback and what he looks for in a defensive lineman?
No.
No.
He said from a quarterback, he wants a loving family, you know, two-parent home, all that.
Seriously?
And he did. And he said with the defense...
D-line, he wants
the broken
drama
home.
Drama.
Yeah, just...
Like single mom.
Drama.
The whole thing.
It's true.
Oh my God.
Look, There's a reason why, like, Tom Brady is Tom Brady and, like, Charles Haley is Charles Haley. Like, Lawrence Taylor, in my opinion, is the greatest defensive player of all time.
Yeah.
Okay? Changed the game. Joe Gibbs invented a defense to deal with Lawrence Taylor. I'm not sure if you're aware of what Lawrence Taylor has going on in his personal life, but nothing is good.
Isn't he in jail?
I think he's out of jail now. I think he's been in jail. But Lawrence, like, you can't be Lawrence Taylor and play quarterback. You can be Lawrence Taylor and be the greatest defensive player.
And just say, hey, go get the quarterback.
Yes.
That's Mike Tyson. They were talking about him and his upbringing in Brooklyn.
It's bad.
It was really bad. Yes. And, you know, you see why he is the way he is.
Yes.
All right.
I don't know if you know this about MMA and boxers, but a lot of the great ones, and by a lot, I mean all of them, none of them came from upper, like wealthy to do things.
And they all started fighting because they had to when they were kids.
Yeah, yes. Exactly. That's exactly what Tyson said. He said they took him to, he went to the spot of his first fight, and he said, that's when I knew I had to fight.
Yeah.
Some guy took his birds. You know, he's a bird guy. He's a big pigeon guy. Some guy stole him and told him to F off and called him the N-word.
Yeah.
And he said, all right,
we're going to do this.
I'm going to kick your ass. Uh-huh. And he knew that that's,
yep.
From that point on, he knew he had to fight.
And it started at like 12 and 13.
Yeah,
and by the time he was 15, he was already known around the country as like the most terrifying young boxer.
It's weird to look at old tape of him. He was like, when he was kicking some ass, he was like 20.
Yeah.
He was so young.
Really young.
He didn't look that young, but he was.
And then he burned out because obviously, like, once Customato died, his old.
Well, and you have rape.
Yeah.
You have 3 years in prison.
And massive coke issues. And
yeah, somebody asked me, they were like, why does Tyson get a pass on all of his rape stuff?
I talk about it all the time.
Well, I mean, yes, but he did serve time.
Yes,
like,
he did.
You know, there's a big distinction there.
But he's become this lovable figure, and he is not.
He's a horrible dude.
He's a horrible person, but I don't know. For whatever reason, people relate to him, and
he's like Martha Stewart.
Did you hear the interview that's been going viral, the one that he did with the child reporter for this fight?
No.
Okay, so we have that if you want it. It's about a minute.
I do.
But basically, there's a child reporter there, and they're asking Mike about his legacy, and it's as if he doesn't realize that this is just a kid interviewing him, and this is what that sounds like.
Oh, well, in your return to the ring for this fight, you are setting a monumental opportunity for kids my age to see the legend, Mike Tyson, in the ring for the first time. So after such a successful career, what type of legacy would you like to leave behind when it's all said and done?
Well, I don't know. I don't believe in the word legacy. I just think that's another word for ego. Legacy doesn't mean nothing. That's just some word everybody grabbed onto. Someone said that word and everyone grabbed on the word, so now it's used every 5 seconds. It means absolutely nothing to me. I'm just passing through. I'm going to die and it's going to be over. Who cares about legacy after that? What a big ego. So I'm going to die. I want people to think that I'm this. I'm great. No, we're nothing. We're just dead. We're dust.
Boy,
we're absolutely nothing.
I agree with him.
Our legacy is nothing.
You think it's a kid, Mike.
Well, thank you so much for sharing that. That is something that I have not heard before someone say that as an answer.
Can you really imagine somebody say, I want my legacy to be this way when you're dead? Why do you want somebody? You think somebody really wants to think about you? How? What's the adaptation? I think I want people to think about me when I'm gone. Who the f- cares about me when I'm gone?
Oh my god!
My kids, man, your grandkids. Yeah, who the fuck cares?
That's the greatest thing I've ever
heard. I've said it before. I just do not understand why people gravitate towards Mike Tyson.
He is a very interesting figure.
I just don't get it.
He really is. All right. I would say Dan Lanning's appearance is here on The Fan, brought to you by Unitas Community Credit Union. Like a coach's playbook, Unitas has a winning strategy for your finances. You, us, Unitas. I don't know. Dan Lanning postgame, or should we move on? Next. I don't know.
Where do you go after Mike Tyson cursing at a small child? Where do you go? Hey.
But I want more of that.
He was in The Hangover, and he's a lovable guy. Minus the assault and rape and whatever.
All right, so we'll go somewhere. I don't know where we're going. Tune in to find out next on The Fan.
You know what? I'm
going
to cook on your grill. She's a
man-eater. All right, well. Oh,
here she comes. Where do you go from there?
Where do you go from there?
Dan Lanning to Mike Tyson, God knows what.
We're getting some good feedback on the Vancouver Ford text line here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting. A couple of these about Lanning. Another riveting conversation with Mr. Lanning.
And someone else, a couple other people.
I thought he was good today.
Yeah, he opened up.
Oh boy, does Lanning not want to be here. This interview makes me miss Mike Riley.
Well, but I think Lanning's point is he doesn't want to do any of this. It's not us.
Well, he was good. I thought he was good today because our strategy today was just get him talking about bigger picture things. Yes. You know, we don't need to get into.
That's what you're not going to get anything talking about Wisconsin other than the standard thing that he says on the coaching show.
He was good. Somebody said best Lanning interview to date. You got him to open up at least a little bit.
There you go.
Bravo, gents. Great interview. Coach Lanning was much more open and talkative today. It's like he was practicing for his future interviews with the Cowboys.
See what you did there.
Yeah. A lot of people are worried about that. A lot of people are asking me about that.
I know.
I get that all the time now.
Yeah, it's,
What do you think about that?
I don't know what to tell you. Other than Jeremy Fowler or whatever said that he's drawing interest in the NFL.
Well, if he wins a championship,
Of course. I mean, but Lincoln Riley's been drawing interest from the NFL for years, and he hasn't gone. And Chip Kelly did draw interest, and he went.
There are people whose entire jobs it is to come up with people to be interested in for their franchises. Yes. And of course he's drawing interest. He's been great where he is.
I will say now, coaches' salaries in college are getting so high that, you know, I don't know if the allure of the NFL, if anything's going to drive coaches out of college, it's just the grind.
It's recruiting, right? Don't you think?
And the NIL stuff.
I think it's the juggling of recruiting, transfers, NIL, and then also your X's and O's.
I think what you heard from him there and that I picked out is that they're just, you have to recruit your players literally
all the time.
Around the clock, it sounds like. Yeah, you should be having conversations like that all the time.
And there's free agency periods at multiple points during the year, and I think that probably is very frustrating. But for Oregon, at least, in the 3 years he's been here, the transfer portal has been, I mean, it's been the biggest boon that they've had. I mean, look, without the transfer portal, Oregon is not, they're not the number one team in the country. I don't know if they're a top 10 team in the country. They're almost like, how many impactful players on their defense are homegrown? I mean, everything from your defensive line alone is, I mean, your most impactful players are transfers. Your almost entire secondary, transfers. Your offense, almost every meaningful receiver that you have that's marquee, transfer. Your several offensive linemen, transfers. Your quarterback, transfer. So, I mean, this is, can we also say too that Oregon has been phenomenal in the transfer portal at identifying these kids. A lot of guys take these swinges at big name guys and it doesn't work out.
Sometimes it's like trying to fit a square peg in a round hole, and Oregon does seem like they identify guys that are going to work, or at least they mold them to work in a way that
Bucky
happens.
Was a home run. Bo Nix was a home run. Dylan, home run. Evan Stewart took a little bit. Home run. Tez, home run. Birch, home run. Harmon might be the Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year. You know, Muhammad has been a phenomenal fit coming over from Washington, of all places. Sappington, maybe not so much. But, like, they have just done a phenomenal job of identifying the transfer portal. But I can imagine that is maybe the biggest F this world that a college coach is going to have. And at least with Oregon, unlike most programs, you have the resources to be competitive in pretty much every aspect of this. Can you imagine this world and now you are in, let's take Utah, for example. Utah's a committed program, and Utah has been a top 25 program, won back-to-back titles in the Pac-12. Imagine what it's like to be Kyle Whittingham and have to navigate that. And then you can go down the list and you go down to schools even below that. Think about like Trent Bray right now and what that guy's dealing with, or Dickert up at Washington State, who's having a phenomenal year, and you probably can't even enjoy it because you can't go to the college football playoff this year. And there's a fear that at 11-1, and even if you have that, you don't go to the playoff. Oh, and by the way, how many people are going to come swooping in at the end of this? It's just, it's really, really hard. And luckily for Oregon, you're above a lot of that stuff.
A couple of other texts. Mike Tyson was like Confucius in that interview. What genius thought it was a good idea to put a child anywhere near Mike Tyson?
And that's what I'm saying. Like, I understand that he's become this weird, lovable cult figure now with people, but dude, that guy should not be allowed anywhere near a kid.
That should be court ordered.
It should be.
Somebody said that is, well, a couple people like that is something I've never heard before. as a drop. Do you think we could pull that out of there?
I think we can make that happen. Yeah.
The kid's reaction?
That is something well, I've that's, never
Look, I thought the kid handled it amazingly well.
Well, he was shocked.
Yeah.
The kid was shocked.
I think it was even she. I think it might have been a she.
Oh, really?
She? Yeah, but either way, the kid was very well put together.
They're like,
yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah, I mean, my God, I got...
What an answer.
Yeah, Mike up there, you know, is talking about eating people's children and praising Allah and biting Lennox Lewis in the leg.
I forgot about eating children.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to eat his children and...
I believe the quote was, I'm going to rip his heart out and eat his children.
And then...
They're eating the cats.
And then praise Allah.
Yeah.
Like, kids...
Good
Mike,
dude.
They're eating
the dogs.
Iron Mike. All right. Let's get to In the News. I've got a lot here today. Your noted newsman has been hard at work. The FBI wants to give you $25,000, but there's a catch.
Ooh, I want 25 grand. Who do I got to rat out?
You got to rat out the ballot box guy.
Oh, I wanted to rat out Buckley.
What did I do?
Blame it on him.
You seem like a criminal to me.
Okay.
That's next. Here's Buck.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Like the legend. All right, time to move on to something of more importance. November 14, 2024. It's time now for In the News. I'm your noted newsman. Hello. Thank you. Coming with intensity today.
You are bringing the intensity.
Got a lot of news stories over here.
France
it is
style.
National Pickle Day. Do you like pickles?
Not really.
Very controversial item in our household, the pickle.
I
love pickles.
Do you?
I do. And my wife makes homemade pickles, which are delicious. But we have a problem with dill in our household.
They don't like the dill.
They don't like too much dill.
Well, like if I'm getting a burger... And there's a couple pickles on there. I don't necessarily won't pick them off, but yeah, I'm not going to ask where I'm on. Yeah, and sometimes a relish is okay, but for the most part, I find pickles to be a nuisance.
I like pickles more on a sandwich than I do a burger.
Yeah.
Is that weird?
No, same sort of thing. Just something like you like the little crunch to it, do you?
Yeah, but not on a burger. I'd rather keep the burger to the meat. Yeah. You know, and the cheese.
I think I'd go the other way. I will not tolerate a pickle on a sandwich. I'll pick that out.
Oh.
A burger, I'll just kind of, as long as it's not overwhelming, like if there's just one or two small slices,
What do you do with the pickle? You know, sometimes they put the little half-sliced pickle on the side.
I huck it.
You do?
See, I love that. I love the little spear on
me
the side.
Me too. Yep. I'm the guy that will eat everyone's pickles.
Yep.
Really?
Yeah. Then you can have
Hey, mine. You can eat that?
Yeah, it's out of there. I got no time for it. And what I don't like is when they put it on the side, a lot of times it contaminates my fries.
The juice?
Yeah, I don't
get You got to be careful with the pickle juice.
Yeah.
I think that is a huge detriment to the pickle. Yeah. I mean, it's how it works, but you got to be careful.
Oftentimes they put it in a little bag.
That's a good way to go.
I just don't like it. Sometimes when you put it amongst my other food, and now everything I have has a faint taste of pickle, That's not what a side accoutrement should be. You're allowing it to blend over, and that I can't abide.
It is also Loosen Up, Lighten Up Day.
No, I think everyone could probably use that.
Well, isn't that our whole motto here?
Yeah, just lighten up, man.
Yeah.
It's not that big a deal. It's like, we'll be all right.
All of you, lighten up.
Deep breath.
In the history of people being told to lighten up, no one ever has.
No. That's what you should do. When you, next time your wife's mad, tell her to lighten up.
See how lighten up.
Lighten up, calm down, or relax. No one ever has.
Calm down.
It's never happened. In the history of calming down, it's never occurred because someone said calm down.
Yeah.
But the other day when my neighbors came out and freaked out about the dog poo trash can thing, my first thing I said was, whoa, calm down. And I can tell you, they did not calm down.
No, it usually goes up.
It's usually
come on!
I even tried to do the hands up, like the, hey,
whoa.
Is that the universal, like, calm down?
Yeah, it is a sign of, of like...
I'm not... I think it
you're
means...
You're not, like, submitting, but you're...
I think you're saying that I don't mean, like, my hands are open, I don't have anything, I don't have a weapon,
I'm not
punching.
A good sign. That should be a welcoming sign to a,
but the
to a perp.
The problem is that a lot of times when you do that, someone takes your... Like, whoa, calm down as a sign to be more aggressive because they think you're being passive. And that's Bush League. Well, don't do that.
In the news is brought to you by the Advocates, injury attorneys at advocateslaw.com. Mm-hmm.
It's Sue Mike Tyson.
So the FBI wants to give you $25,000.
I would like them to give me $25,000.
That is the reward for information that leads to a conviction in the... Now, see, that's a key thing there. Conviction? He has to be convicted?
Yeah, because I'll throw anyone under the bus. I'll start making random McCarthy-like accusations against Buckley and, I don't know, Swag and anyone else here at the station. But I don't think that's going to give me the 25 G's.
Yeah, they're looking for the ballot box fire guy in the old Volvo.
Yeah.
They can't find that guy.
Yeah, which is kind of weird.
Someone
would have figured it out.
What they said was he didn't have a front license plate and his back license plate was fake. So that's a big problem. So now it's just the car and he probably ditched the car.
Well, he's smart enough to get a fake plate. I used to do that in college with parking tickets.
What a genius.
It works until they catch on to you and then they put a boot on your car. But it does work.
So the FBI field offices in Seattle and Portland announcing that they will offer a $25,000 reward for information that leads to the identification, arrest, and conviction of the ballot box fire guy in Vancouver and Portland.
And I'm assuming he's facing serious charges.
I think.
Yeah, you can't screw with elections. Dude, my man there, I hope the juice was worth the squeeze on that one. Because you know that guy's got to be sweating bullets.
And they said no detail is too small, no tip is too minor. The big difference.
Yeah, you just think, I don't know. I would have thought by now that this case would have been closed. But I guess the fake license plate and, you know, no plate on the front.
So we've been through this before, but should Lake Oswego be open to the public? They're still fighting this. This goes back and forth.
Yeah.
An Oregon judge has ruled that it should be open to the public. This decision was issued.
There's a lot of rich white people in Lake Oswego that aren't happy about this.
Not at all.
No.
They don't want this. No. They don't want you coming down there with your little pontoon boat.
Out there with my blow-up stand-up paddle board. Let's do this.
I thought you were going to say blow-up doll in your boat.
I mean, I suppose
you That'd be funny.
That would be
You fun. Know, now that it's open to the public, somebody goes down there and just totally trolls all them
rich Just the
people.
Most white trash thing you can think of. And by the way,
ducks.
I do think floating on, like, getting, like, four or five blow-up dolls, lashing them together, that would probably be the best thing to take out on the lake. Tie it up to someone's dock. What's up?
Judge Kathy Steele, in a long-running lawsuit, found the city of Lake Oswego's ordinance blocking public access to the lake to be unlawful. She ordered the city to allow access effective immediately through Millennium Plaza Park. However, only one of the three access points were restricted. The court ruled that the city had the right to restrict access through the other two access points. That's weird, but whatever. And they will likely appeal. And this will continue on and on.
So I or can I not?
You can right now.
Right now.
Beginning right now.
In the dead of winter.
You have to go to the one access point, but if you go there, you can throw your little boat.
My little boatsies.
Out on Lake Oswego.
For heaven's sakes. I don't need to go to Lake Oswego that bad.
And that's what I'm saying. It's like, if they don't want you there, why would I want to go there? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know what I mean?
I think it's the idea of more like, you know, F those guys.
Yeah, but see, that's not me. Whatever. You want your private little lake? you can have it.
I think that's the idea, is that rich people are saying that the lake is ours and the lake is not yours.
You do it anymore, well, you're going to have problems.
The lake is not. Their whole thing is, it's a public lake, but we're not going to let you get to the lake.
Fine. I
mean, honestly, that's like one of the douchier things.
Well, it is, but I don't care.
No, I don't.
Fine. Keep your stupid lake. I'll go to the other lake.
Yeah, that's a classic and petty rich person flex.
Yes.
It sure is.
Yeah, it is.
What else do we have? We have a revolt in St. Helens. Now, this is getting hairy. Do you know what's going on in St. Helens?
This is the teacher scandal, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, saw this.
I tell you what, man.
I did not see this. What's going on?
Yeah, it closed.
This is pretty rough.
We got protests.
So at St. Helens High School, they have recently arrested two teachers.
Yes.
One is I think a former teacher, and one was currently employed there. And they were both sexually abusing students.
Yeah.
And it's gotten so bad. I saw some video on the news of
There's a whole protest.
What is it, like the city council or something, where they have like the old weirdos sitting up at the front and they make all the rules and crap. Dude, that community was all over them. Like, it was like one of those packed houses where everyone's like fired up.
Out with pitchforks kind of a deal. Yeah.
They were like, you need to resign. This is bullshit. You're not protecting us.
Yeah.
Because I guess they knew of some of this stuff.
Yeah, because the one I read, it said historical sexual abuse.
Yes.
And one was on leave and the other one's a former teacher. So
it only became news to the public when the police announced that two of their teachers had been arrested. And so then everybody at St. Helens is like, what the heck?
Yeah.
And so they're now going to the school board going, well, what the hell are you doing to protect us from these blokes?
Because they found out in September, and one was allowed even. So he was under investigation by police. They found out in September, beginning of September, and he was allowed to keep teaching until recently when they arrested him. And obviously people are pissed about that.
Yeah, that's what a leave of absence is for.
Yes.
Like right. I get the whole, well, he hasn't been convicted of anything, but like you need to separate from the children.
Yeah, it's hard. It's one thing to have like a random accusation, but when the police are like, no, we're looking into this dude, you would think that, and you would think even for him.
Yeah.
Like, it might just be best if we just sit a couple plays out, maybe take a quarter off and see what happens. But
yeah, it's crazy. So yeah, they canceled school today and tomorrow because all the kids are out there protesting.
Yeah, their kids refuse to go to class.
Yeah.
So yeah, I saw they're all lined up out there at school, and yeah, that's an ugly mess.
They have called for the school principal and the district superintendent to be fired.
Well, it's amazing, too, sometimes how kids know. We had one of these happen at my daughter's high school a couple years ago when she was there, and she said, dude, a lot of people knew. And we were like, really?
They knew about it?
Yeah, well, there was, I guess, kids talk. I think it's hard to keep anything a secret, so, you know, it's. And theirs, I think, was a female teacher, which I think is viewed a little bit differently because these are both male teachers, but, yeah, it's a thing.
Crazy.
Yeah.
All right, up next, is A&A buying a golf course?
All right.
On the Fan.
What?
All right, this is in the news, November 14. Wow, we are almost at Thanksgiving. 2 weeks.
Careening towards holiday season.
We sure are. You guys excited about that?
Just so you know, I've already started drinking for the holidays. I'm already in the
You're already in holiday drink mode?
Boozy blanket on?
Yeah, so good.
I think I'm going to crank it up this weekend.
Well, you should. It's good times.
Why not?
I've been listening to Christmas music like the last 3 days on my way home. Then I get home, maybe I pour myself some nog, maybe put something else in there.
Ooh, do you like eggnog?
Spiked eggnog.
You do?
Yeah. I don't drink regular eggnog. And can I also say that like it's more of like a half and half mixture?
What do you put with it?
It's just another way to put whiskey.
You go vodka?
No,
oh,
I go whiskey.
Yeah, you need a brown booze in there.
Do you?
Mm-hmm.
I like eggnog.
I do not. Yes. I'm good for one glass every holiday season with some booze in it. That's about it.
Really? You do that?
I'll have it at a party or something, but like we're not going to go out and buy eggnog. We won't do that.
And I haven't done this in a bit, but I had a buddy of mine that would, he would warm the eggnog just a bit, and then he would put peppermint schnapps in it.
Ooh.
With some vodka. Delightful.
Mm.
Yeah, so you do like maybe a shot and a half of the vodka, and then a shot of the peppermint schnapps, and then warm up the nog a little bit, and careful.
Mm. Yeah. Dangerous?
Yeah, it's dangerous. Before you know it, you're like, whoa, hey, where'd this come from?
Hey, you know the A&A Casino up there?
I'm familiar. Wonderful place.
Yeah, it is. It's a great place. We do shows there from time to time.
I'm a big fan of the Michael Jordan Steakhouse up there.
Yes. We're going there next weekend.
Are you really?
Can't wait.
I'm on a pork chop kick lately, and they have a great delightful pork chop.
Love a good pork chop.
And the garlic bread.
You know, I do love a good pork chop, but I got to tell you, when I'm at a steakhouse, I almost will never order it. Because I just get so sucked into their
It's hard to deviate from steakhouse's meat. Bread and butter. So.
I felt the same way. But I'm telling you, like the last year, I've almost gone exclusively steakhouse pork chop.
Mm.
Go to Ox sometime and get their chop and tell
me. There I would get a pork chop.
Oh, it's so good. But I'm telling you, MJ's does a delightful chop. I don't think you'll be disappointed.
Did you hear the Isachi news at MJ's?
No. What's the Isachi news?
Well, our man Jeff up there, he makes designer steak knives and he will put your name on it.
Yeah.
Well, he made one for me. And it's spelled ISSAC. And I told him that. And I didn't care, but I was like, you know, that's misspelled. And he's like, oh my God, I feel so terrible. Yeah. He said, well, what if I put an E on the end of it? And now we have Isachi.
Was he trying to make it Isachi?
No.
Or did he think the E would fix it?
No, he misspelled my name.
A second time.
And so, so I think we're going to get an Isachi steak knife on display up there.
I love this for you.
No, I hate to tell you this. The Big Sook steak knife's been there for quite some time. Mm-hmm. So you're
always a one-upper.
I'm just saying.
Why are you such a one-upper?
Just saying.
He got me my knife the same time he got your knife, but he didn't put it up because he misspelled my name.
My name's spelled correctly. What can I tell you?
Maybe you need an Isachi signature cocktail.
I am excited about the Isachi brand steak knife. Now, is it? I feel like next time I go up, I want to ask for the Isachi knife. I feel it's a little more regal and fancy.
Not anymore.
Not after that.
Well, the Cowlitz tribe owns Alinea. It's on Cowlitz tribe land.
Yes, it is.
Well, you know that there's a golf course right across I-5 there, Tri Mountain. Well, Tri Mountain is for sale.
Oh, I can't say I knew that.
And the only bidder for the golf course was the Cowlitz Economic Authority.
Oh, no.
They're going to buy a golf course.
Are they going to keep the golf course or are they just buying the land?
Okay.
I feel like maybe that's, you know.
Well, okay. So first of all, golf courses go well with casinos.
Sure.
Because people that you want to get into the casino, many of them like golf.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't sound as if they're, and they have not made their intentions. No, I mean, you kind of have, it's a kind of a delicate dance there.
Sure.
You know, when you're trying to acquire land.
I feel like that golf course is going away.
Well, what they said, what their initial bid was $3.6 million.
Mm.
Wait, no. Their initial bid was... Bloop, 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 bloop.
Anything. Bueller.
Higher.
Bueller.
Oh, $5
million. Okay.
Yeah, so they initially bid $5 million, but... That was rejected because what came with that offer was that they wanted to include a clause in there that could end the golf course requirement after 5 years.
Okay.
So after 5 years, if they paid $5 million for it, after 5 years, they could do whatever they wanted with the land.
Yeah.
Well, they denied that.
Yeah.
So they dropped their bid down to $3.6 million. Mm-hmm. And it will stay a golf course. Now.
For how long?
Yeah. I mean, then you get into the politics and the, you know, laws and such.
I'm just going to go out on a limb and say this right now. If you want to golf at Tri Mountain, I suggest you go golf at Tri Mountain. I don't think that's in the long term. I just don't think that's in the long term plans.
So they put that up for auction. It's owned by Clark County.
Mm.
They put that up for auction in September, and that was the only bid was from Cowlitz.
Can't say that I knew that was county owned.
Yeah.
I didn't know. You could always take a right and go an extra 10 minutes. You can go to Lewis River if that thing...
That's way up there. Though.
That's not that far from Tri Mountain.
How far?
From Tri Mountain to Lewis River Golf Course...
20
minutes. I'm guessing you're under 15 minutes.
Really?
Yeah, I'm going to say probably 13 minutes. Because I lived right in between the two of them. I'll look it up.
Yeah, there is a requirement.
Tri Mountain does have
there's nothing there.
You can hit it like four fairways over.
Except until you hit it onto I-5.
That's true.
And cause a major pileup.
That would be problematic.
Yeah, the requirement is So it has a pro shop, commercial kitchen, offices, dining area, and driving range. 3.525 million was the bid. Additional requirement, the Tri Mountain remains a golf course in perpetuity. Only the county council has the power to change that requirement. So that's where you would get into the politics of, hey, let's get some people on that county commission
and get it out of there.
Get what we want. I mean, I don't know. Who knows what they want for it? Yeah. But $3.6 million they bid for Tri Mountain Golf Course.
11.8 miles and about 18 minutes. You could probably make it there. Yeah, it's under 20, but yeah, it's a little bit of a little bit.
So
poke.
20 minutes.
20 minutes. Yeah, book 20.
Oh, it's already 5 o'clock.
You could swing by the Ace Hardware on your way there, buy a wheelbarrow or something. That area up there is growing, though. I don't even recognize it when I go up there. Lived there for 10 years. Looks completely different now.
That's your In the News for November 14, 2024. It is brought to you by the Advocates Injury Attorneys at advocateslaw.com. Up next, the Hot 5 at 5. A lot of news. I mean,
not a bad little
not
news
Not a
day.
Major
okay,
news.
But enough.
Some stuff out there.
Some stuff happening. Sports.
That'll be next on The Fan. I don't know.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.